Good morning on this last Sunday of 2012. Thank you for being a listener to our program this year. We hope that you'll continue to listen next year. Next Lord's Day morning, we begin a new phase of our program here, and we're going to begin answering Bible questions on the air beginning next Sunday. We ask you to tune in to listen to our answers to Bible questions written in by our listening audience. If you have a question that you would like to see me answer or hear me answer on the air, please write to the Harrisburg Church of Christ, 232 South College Street, Harrisburg, Kentucky, 40330. Send in your questions and we'll answer them on the air. We also ask you to check out our website, www.harrisburgchurchofchrist.com. In there, you'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We hope you'll give it a look. At the end of our broadcast, we'll give you the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to come and be with us. You will always be warmly received. This is a time that many people make New Year's resolutions. Resolutions about things that they are going to do and promise to do, plan to do, for the coming of a new year. Nothing wrong with New Year's resolutions, but I might ask you this morning, do you remember what your New Year's resolutions were for 2012? Now I want to ask, did you accomplish them? Did you follow through with them? You see, sometimes we make these resolutions, but somehow we get distracted and we never seem to complete the task. This morning, I would like to give you some goals for spiritual growth in 2013, if the Lord wills that 2013 comes. And so let me give you some suggestions on how and goals that might help you in the coming year. First of all, I want to challenge you to begin to try to gain more knowledge of God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Yes, knowledge. Knowledge is the key to living and making good decisions and living a productive, godly life. You see, the more of God's Word that we have in our mind, the better choices and decisions that we make. The more truth we know, it protects us against error and deception and going in the wrong direction. The more truth that we have in our mind, the better choices we make in our lives, and the closer we'll walk with God and conform our life to His teaching. Yes, commit yourself to more knowledge in 2013, but follow through and have a daily relationship with the Word of God. Number two, have a more productive prayer life. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, it says that He knows what we need even before we ask. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, we are told to pray without ceasing. Prayer is a communication between man and God, the avenue that God left in order that we might communicate our needs, our desires, our thanksgiving, and our petitions to the throne of mercy and grace in time of need. Yes, prayer is indeed a special blessing of God's people. Only those who are in His family have the distinct honor of calling Him Father, and to be able to petition Him in time of need, in time of want, and with thanksgiving and blessings for the things that He gives us. Yes, prayer needs to be a daily part of our lives, and something that we do each and every day, not of a habit, not because it's the right thing to do, but because we want to be closer to our God. This is the avenue that God gave us in order that we might have an intimate relationship with Him. So in 2013, have a more productive prayer life. Number three, be more benevolent to others. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, we're told that we ought to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 12, it says, for if there first be a willing mind, is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. Ladies and gentlemen, We live in the most productive and blessed society in this world. We have been truly blessed with material riches, to our demise, I'm afraid, in many cases, but yet the truth is that we have much ability. We have a lot of opportunity to help those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Are we greedy with the blessings that God has given us in our lives? Do we hoard those blessings? Do we not share them with others? Do we not see the need all around us and yet do nothing about trying to do something to turn it around? I'm not just talking about charity. I'm talking about giving time and effort to those who are less fortunate, to those who can't get out on a regular basis for services with God's people. Do you visit them? Do you let them know that they're not forgotten? Do you help those who are struggling with a tragedy in their family or with a terrible illness and going through terrible treatments? Do you ever let them know that you're praying for them, that you're caring for them, and that you're there to help in any way that you can? Yes, we must be benevolent to others, not just with our money, but with our time and with our opportunity. Number four, maybe you need to start putting God first in your life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, "To seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse, or excuse me, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." We must first give ourselves to the Lord, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. Ladies and gentlemen, life will keep you busy. It will consume your time. It will consume your energy. It will consume everything and leave nothing for God or for spiritual growth or for developing a better relationship with Christ. Just living life, taking care of the needs of our families, working at our jobs, and taking care to rest, all of them take time, and all of them press us for time. But ladies and gentlemen, we are the masters of our lives. We determine how we use the clock. We determine the choices that we make, and we determine the priorities in our lives. If we want to put God first, then it must be done in the choices that we make concerning the time that we give Him in our lives. God must come first. He plays second to nothing. And if God, you want God to be first in your life, then you must make it a priority in your life. You must make a priority to know Him, to walk with Him, to love Him, to obey Him, and to do those things that are pleasing to Him by knowing His Word and conforming it to your life. Putting God first is not just a statement. It's a way of life. It's something that will give us a greater life in the next life if we put Him first now. And last but not least, we need to live a more godly life in 2013. In Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1 and 2, Paul would write, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Then, in the book of Titus, chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, Titus would write, "Not pilfering, not showing all good fidelity, that they adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Yes, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to Titus, told us that we need to live a godly life, that we need to live soberly and righteously and godly. And we do that by denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And grace teaches us that we must live a different type of life. We only have one life here on earth. We're either going to live it for God, or we're going to live it for ourselves. We're either going to conform our life to His teaching, or we're going to follow the teachings of men, and we're going to conform our lives to what we want to do instead of what He wants us to do. And so living a godly life is a decision. It's a choice. And it is a better choice than living a life to God, to the world, and for the world. But conforming your life to His world, and conforming your life to His life, and walking in a way that is godly, you must know what that godly way is. You must know what's godly and what is ungodly. You must know what is the right way in order to avoid the wrong way. You must know the way that leads to life to avoid the one that leads to death. You must know what pleases Him and what will cause you to displease Him. You must know the things that are required for obedience and the things that will lead you to disobedience. You see, it all comes back to where we began. You need a knowledge of God's Word. You need to know what His will is for you. And you will never know that, my friend, if you never take time to open up His book and to examine His teaching and to look at it and not just read it, not just believe it, but to apply it, to put it into practice, to make your life more profitable, better, more fulfilling, and closer to God, and preparing yourself for the eternity that God has promised to those who love Him. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, and Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. Yes, 2013 is upon us. In a few days, if God allows time to continue, we will enter a new year. But I want to ask you something, dear listener, as we get ready to celebrate a new year. What about last year? What about 2012? How much time and effort and determination and commitment and faithfulness did you show for God in the last year that He blessed you to live and gave you life and blessed you with all the things that you enjoyed in 2012? Did He get a fair share? Did you put Him first? Did you look to do things in a way that bring Him glory and honor instead of yourself? Did you look to seek others to help them see Christ living in you? And did you strive to separate yourself from the world and to wholly belong to God? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a new year is upon us. And we're going to make the decisions of the choices that we're going to make in the coming year. But I want you to reflect on the choices you made in the past year. Were they made with your concern for your relationship with God, your walk with God, and with your responsibilities to God? Or did the majority of your decisions and the things that you chose to do have to do with what you wanted and what you needed to do and what you had in store? Instead of looking to the things of God, you look to the things of yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, life is a precious thing. It's a vapor that appears for a little while and it vanishes away. Life is temporal. Eternity is forever. We need to make good decisions in this life so we can have a better life when we leave this life. And so, what will it be for you in 2013? Will you grow closer to God, or you become more distant? Will you walk in His path, or will you choose your own? Your choice. We hope you'll make the good choice. Thank you for listening this past year. We hope you'll become a regular listener in 2013 as we open up the pages of God's wonderful work. May you have a happy new year. Tune in again next Sunday. Thank you for listening.